Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it is Healthy Gut Girl, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, right? I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, and today we have a fantastic guest who, you know, I just love the internet so much because you really can just, especially social media, because you really can just come across the most interesting people. And in the group, one of our members recommended that I start following and listening to this awesome chick named Jennifer Tyson, who is a health practitioner, and her specialty is thyroid and pro-metabolic lifestyle. And she has been such a wealth of information, dropping the occasional mind-blowing bit of knowledge in our group here and there. And it just really caught my attention because it's been so useful. And in fact, in this actual episode, she blows my mind a couple of times because even though I've heard some of these things before, you know, sometimes it just takes that person to just drive it home. And the way that she presented it to me, I was like, oh, whoa, wow. And so I won't tell you, I won't give it away. You'll find out in the episode when I'm like, wait a minute. And yeah, it's just all useful info, right? This is what these podcasts are all about. They're not meant to tell you what to do or how to live. They're just like, listen and see if you get some, you know, golden information that you can apply to your life. And she's so lovely and sweet, and she lives in New Mexico, and we were both ballroom dancers. And yeah, but she sounds like she was way, way more hardcore than I was. I don't think, yeah, definitely, she was definitely. So she's awesome. Take a listen, and I'll catch you on the backside.
My background is working with large mammals, dolphins, big cats, horses, and they're so healing. And I want to expand that experience of teaching people, because when you work with horses and they're reading you and they're not viewing you as a leader, they won't come near you. And it's like, I don't want to create a place of judgment, but I want to bring awareness. It's like, okay, if animals are picking up that you're not a leader, how is your body supposed to follow? Because you have these thoughts, you have this energy in you that is like, yes, I want to get better, but can I really? Am I broken?
Right.
You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a lot of, you know, nutrition and thyroid health isn't the only reason that creates estrogen dominance. A lot of times it can be trauma. It can be abuse that you haven't dealt with. And so I want to expand that. And I started working with horses here, long story short, good grief. And I want to start integrating people in and part of that process, if they're open to it, like, hey, why don't you come with me, spend a day mucking stalls, moving your body, being out in nature, and kind of grounding yourself again. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
there's such a lack of that now. And so it's like, yes, I'm a health coach and I deal with nutrition and all that stuff, but I'm really interested in healing, you know? And getting connected with who you really are, you know?
Yeah. I love all of that. I you know, when I met my husband, who's a chiropractor, he was working on horses, and I went with him. I know. And he works on dogs and horses and newborns, you know, children in the spectrum and who have cerebral palsy. Anyway, we went to see the horses, and I watched him working on this horse, and it really changed my life. I don't think I'll ever forget that moment, because this horse was in so much pain, and he had been on mega doses of Advil for a really long time because of his lower back. And his owner kept saying, it's his lower back, it's his lower back. And so he walked up to the horse, and the horse just came over to him. Like, he knew, like you just said, knew that he was there.
Please
to help,
help
him.
Me.
Yeah. And so he felt around on his neck, and funny enough, it was his neck was the source of the issue. It wasn't his lower back. It was reflexing to his lower back. But Charlie said, what's the horse's name? And they said, his name is Atlas. And he goes, that is so interesting because it's his Atlas that is completely out. His C1
interesting.
Is totally out. So he adjusted this horse's neck. And I swear to you, it sounded like a car door slammed. It was so loud. Audible. And then the horse, because he had him standing over him, the horse was kind of like this over his shoulder. He breathed out so heavily and just rested his neck on top of Charlie's shoulder. I was so impressed. And then after that, he got on a ladder, climbed up on the backside of the horse and adjusted his lower back. And it just bonk went right into place.
Right in.
It was blew my mind. So I'm so fascinated with your work with these mammals and gosh, dolphins. Like, how did that even happen?
It's an experience that I am so proud of because we totally can create what we want. And I got this job without having the college degrees, you know, the degree in biology, the degree in psychology. And what I did was I would go to this facility. It was a research facility, like a birth and research facility, and the public could go. And I just went like 3-4 times a week and got to know the dolphins. And I let the trainers and the handlers see me. And over time, I just built a relationship. And one evening, the head curator was out and he was like, what are you always here for? And I was like, I want to work here. And he was like, well, what's your experience? Well, I've trained horses, you know, all my life. I've worked with big mammals. And I always wanted to be a marine biologist. And he was like, all right, you have experience working with horses. He's like, we have a swim test tomorrow. Why don't you come tomorrow and take it? And I mean, I can swim. I can keep myself alive, but I'm like by no means, you know, the category they needed to be. And I just was so determined to pass this test. Almost died. You know, it's one of those things you're diving 25, you know, deep into this pool and you're picking up like weights and you're having to swim back up and push-ups right after that.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was like this intense experience. And at the end of the day, I'm like lying on like the deck, just like. But he saw I could really connect with the animals and I had experience working with, you know, that. And they ended up hiring me.
Oh, my goodness. What a dream come true.
It was. It
amazing.
Was.
So how long did you do that?
I did that for 3 years until it just started becoming more commercialized.
Okay.
And it just, you know, it just wasn't what I signed up for. Yeah. But I mean, definitely a privilege.
Right.
Great lessons and memories. And there's a lot of takeaways that I still use from working with the dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, when working with people.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said about, you know, the animals know if you're not a leader. And depending on that animal's personality, it'll either avoid you or it'll take advantage of you. And it can, or, it, you know, it just depends. And that's kind of, people are kind of that way too. And so, I've learned so much about that as well. And just in my years of practice where it's like it, how you come on board to with a person, it matters so much. It matters your presentation, your delivery, all of that stuff. It's important to learn how to be a leader, even if you're just working one-on-one. So what brought you to thyroid health? Do you, all practitioners seem to have their own personal journey about how they wound up doing what they're doing. Is that you, or did you just take an interest in thyroid health?
Well, after the dolphins, my health really tanked. Like most practitioners, that's what they, you know, they always them fixing their own health. Mm-hmm. And I had come out of an abusive marriage. I had really bad PTSD and I had a lot of abuse in my childhood and around my 30s my health just said enough. You know what I mean? My body just tanked and my hair was falling out. When you look at pictures, if the sun was hitting just right, I had like a bald patch practically here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also a ballroom dancer. And
I can't believe that. I was a ballroom dancer.
you serious?
Can we just have more in common? I just can't wait till by the end of this, we're gonna be like, wait a minute, you know Uncle Mark? You know, we're gonna be like related.
Yeah. And I don't know if this was your experience, but like I'm 5'1", I'll always have that like gymnast compact, you know, muscular body. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we need
no,
to
that's
give
not
you
my experience.
I was like, we have to give the illusion that you're leaner and taller because my dance partner was tall. Mm-hmm. And they really wanted me to lose a lot of muscle mass in my thighs. And they didn't come out and say it, but they were like, you got a caloric deficit. Mm-hmm. And then we would have weekly weigh-ins. And if I didn't hit a certain weight, I couldn't compete. And that led me to eating only 500 calories a day, training for the Big Sur marathon. So running hours on end, and I would drink the gallon of water every day. I limited carbs. I would only allow myself a banana or an apple.
Wow.
My freedom there was the choice of, yeah. And during that time, my body finally was like, enough, you know? And if I even thought about losing weight, I would gain like 5 pounds.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Just thinking about it. And then because of the running, I was dealing with such bad hip pain. And then it wasn't like diagnosed or anything, but it really sounded like neuropathy in my feet. I just was so mineral deficient and so high in lactic acid levels that the nerve pain in my feet were so severe that I couldn't sleep. And so my mom was training with a man, and his business partner knew about Ray Pete, and he was also a Z Health trainer. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I think so, yeah.
But neuro-based training, you know, mm-hmm. how to work with the brain to stop pain. And I remember I was crying in his office, and, you know, he was like, oh, no, you just need to do this. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm in pain. And, you know, we always think that our story is unique and we're helpless,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And he got me out of pain in 10 minutes. And when I had been in pain for a year, and he was like, you know, what do you eat? And I was a raw vegan at the time.
Oh my goodness.
And he was
well, no
like,
wonder you were only getting 500 calories.
It was easy.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want you to go home and I want you to have some orange juice. And I mean, he could have, it was the equivalent of him telling me to drink acid or something. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? It was just
yeah.
like, no, like they're saying that juice is bad for you. And
it's just
all this
sugar.
Stuff. Yeah.
A glass of sugar. You might as well have Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And so I had a little bit of it and I did see some relief, but in time, like I said, I had just left an abusive marriage and I wasn't working. And for 2 years, my anxiety was so bad, it couldn't work. And finally, I started getting better, slowly integrating fruit and juice. And then I just decided, just like I did with the dolphin training, I want to be a trainer. I went back to that trainer and I told him what I wanted to do. And he did an internship with me and he taught me, you know, Ray Pete's work and Carla Rothenberg. And
wow.
You know,
that's amazing.
Started...
That's such a, what a blessing that somebody, you know, you get right into the health thing and the first person you meet happens to be somebody
yeah.
who knows Ray Pete's work. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you started that and you started to eat more. And how was it for you to be like, okay, I'm going to try dairy. Like, was that just like harder than orange juice?
Well, yeah. And meat again. And because I was like, that popular belief, like, you know, cows, you know, cow milk is for baby cows, not for humans. You know, I had every philosophy, you know, that is out there now. And what I really respect about the man I worked with, he said, okay, he said, you can be vegan, but these clients, I want you to do this. And I saw that my clients were getting healthier faster than I was.
Oh, wow.
One of my first clients, she had MS and she had 7 lesions on the brain. And my boss, he kind of directed me. He showed me what would be good for her. And over time, the doctors were so shocked, lesions on the brain were disappearing and she was improving. And here I am, you know, dealing with, you know, hair loss, couldn't lose the weight still. My temperature was like 96.8, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, all right, I'm going to slowly start integrating beef and I'm going to start integrating milk again. And I went from someone, you know, that was told that I was lactose intolerant ever since I was a baby, to where I can drink, you know, 8 cups of milk easy in a day. And
wow.
When I drank milk, that was the game changer for my thyroid. It really,
really?
Was.
So that really upregulated. What do you think that was? You think it was the vitamin A retinol? What do you think it was that really, or just the whole, the fact that it's a complete food?
I think it was a complete food, but I didn't know it at the time, but my calcium to phosphorus ratios were improving.
Ah.
I was becoming, you know, less, you know, acidic. I always think of phosphorus, we need it, but, you know, in abundance, it's like we're almost like on this acidic type scale. And I was getting more calcium. I was getting more electrolytes. I was getting more protein, you know, and yeah, minerals were huge for me. And the milk really provided that. It's so balanced.
Yeah, it's so balanced. That's what I always try to remind people of. So what do you think it was that helped you not be lactose intolerant? Did you have to experiment with other types of milk first, or were you just right on to the whole fat milk commercial grade, or what did you do?
I did. I started off with whole milk. And what was interesting, even though I had such strong reactions to dairy as a child, I could always eat ice cream. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And it was the sugar, right? Because the sugar lowers the stress. So I started off drinking chocolate milk and hot chocolate and making it really sweet, adding honey to it. And I had to start out with doing like 1 or 2 ounces of milk and like coffee, and I would just slowly build it. Or I would put it in orange juice. So it was like a, you know, a creamsicle or something.
Yeah, I love it.
Add it in smoothies. But if I combined the fructose with the dairy, there was no reaction.
Interesting. So you're
and
saying
so,
that the sugar, so what is it about the sugar that might be helping someone with that reaction?
It lowers the stress because sugar is going to create more CO2 in the cells, right? And it helps with the Krebs cycle. And when we have a healthy Krebs cycle and overall healthy cellular respiration, we're going to give off heat. It's going to promote those protective steroids. So everything is in like a relaxed state. It's not tense and tight, and serotonin isn't high, causing that histamine response, you know what I mean? So it helps you digest. Sugar helps you digest food. And and because now I was consuming lactase, no, sorry, reverse, lactose, my body started producing lactase and I was able to break it down.
So for the listeners, so the lactose is the sugar in the milk, and then the lactase is the enzyme that helps break down lactose. So when someone is lactose intolerant, and that's why when they take lactase, it actually helps them break down that.
And also I lowered my cortisol because cortisol destroys gut function.
Right.
And even though I was born, you know, let's just say lactose intolerant, my mom was very estrogenic when she had me. She was high in cortisol, very stressed. I was born a month early. And
that girl, me too. Same.
You
a
too?
Month early. Yeah. Wait, when's your birthday?
May 15th.
Okay. Oh, it's coming up. Mine's November 27th, but same.
Okay.
I was a preemie 1 month, same, just really bad colic. And my mom was under major stress. Yeah. And that cortisol cycle, the life of cortisol ends up dumping into the gut and then just like destroys your gut, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying that when you drink the milk under fight or flight, say you're a fight or flight, it's going to, and because it's milk is so complex, right? When you drink it, it puts you in that state, and you drink the milk in that state, you just can't digest it. And so people have these reactions. So if you have it with more sugar to balance that out, balance out the cortisol, it supports the cortisol to calm down, basically the adrenaline and all those emergency hormones. And then you're able to digest better. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Wow.
Absolutely. But, you know, and I always tell people, because, and I understand, I was totally freaked out to drink dairy again and eat it. But that was the biggest game changer. My hands got warmer, you know, my hands and feet, I leaned out. It's like now, and I don't know if this is the case for the listeners or for you, but I'm very sensitive to the seasons. And so what I eat in the winter is very different than how I eat in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when it starts to warm up, I start to want milk and fruit, milk and fruit. Mm. And that will be a lot of my, that'd be like the biggest like foundation of my nutrition for a day.
Mm-hmm.
I will consume other things, but.
And you, so you don't have an issue with the fat content. Says, because one of the things that I did, I only found out about, I've known about Ray Pete for many, many, many years and his progesterone work, but I didn't know about the pro-metabolic. I didn't go this deep into all of it, the carrots and the orange juice and all that until a little over a year ago. And I was like, milk again in my life? Yes. And I started to drink milk and my husband started to drink milk and I gained so much weight so fast. And, some people have told me, well, it's because, you know, you're still not, your thyroid's still sluggish and your digestion's still off. But I just started drinking goat milk and kind of cut back on the fat and do like low fat milk.
Yeah.
But what do you say about that? The weight gain for a lot of women is a real issue with all dairy.
With all dairy. Yeah. And it is. And I'm of the same opinion. It's just, they still have to do some work on their thyroid and in their gut health. And depending on that person, they may need to do goat milk instead. You know, a lot of women do better with, you know, goat milk instead. Mm-hmm. I now drink non-fat milk. It took me a little bit to be able to handle non-fat milk. I think like with, if you do the more fattier milk or the raw milk, if that's available, it's easier to digest.
Interesting.
I started off with like whole milk, then I did 1%, and then I've just been non-fat for years and my body does fine, but I do have some clients that just can't tolerate non-fat. They have to have at least 1%.
Interesting. And then with the histamine responses, people that get really mucousy and really inflamed from drinking dairy. So what would you say to those people as far, I mean, you mentioned it already with the histamine response, because that probably is a histamine response that they're having, which then goes back to the estrogen in the gut and the liver and all the things, right?
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's the same thing. It's high cortisol, the gut function is low. So I always recommend people either putting honey or maple syrup in their milk. And salt. Salt will really help with that, those histamine symptoms.
Okay, so then let's talk about more about the repeat stuff. So what, mostly because in my group, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the body ecology diet, but that's kind of my background is working with this, with Donna Gates, who's the author, and she was helping remediate the guts of autistic children and also people that had severe candida issues by doing this body ecology diet. The body ecology diet is like 80-20 basically is her whole rule of thumb, which is 80% of it is like plant-based. So, you know, you're sitting down to a plate of vegetables and 20%, you know, a small piece of grass-fed meat. So it's not a horrible diet, but, and it helped me, but I think it's because of what I came from. And that's what I try to say to people about diets, right? Is they're like, my father cured himself of colon cancer by going vegan. And my first question is, well, what was he eating before? Because I don't know that it's so much that he became vegan and what he's eating now, but what he was eating before is probably he stopped those things. And so, you know, the repeat diet kind of flies in the face of, or I hate to say repeat diet because it's really not
a
repeat diet. Right.
Pro-metabolic approach, I guess.
Yeah, pro-metabolic approach. I've been calling it the generative energy foods, which of course is the Danny Roddy,
Danny Roddy.
wink, wink, nod, nod. So, you know, it's kind of flies in the face of what everybody's doing now, the sugar and the, I mean, yeah, what, I don't know what my question is there, except for, yeah, let's talk about the diet more.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I do, and I agree with you when it's like, okay, how was that person eating before? Like if I have a man that I'm working with and they've eaten a lot of fast food or they haven't eaten at all, you know,
yeah,
that's a big
under-eating.
Situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they're eating consistently. They're eating every few hours. And even though they may be eating foods that necessarily I wouldn't recommend, people are so overworked and underfueled, and now they're fueling their bodies. That can be enough to repair,
That I think that was one of the biggest lessons I learned. And unfortunately, I feel like I learned it. Well, it's never too late, but I do feel like I learned it a little bit late, even though I was in, you know, the healing space. I was, you know, doing nutrition with people, and but it was like, I have just been a chronic under eater, and I know so many people do that. And so what they'll do is they'll wake up and they'll have a coffee, right? And they'll skip a meal and they'll call it intermittent fasting because it's, why not? It sounds good.
Yeah.
And then they'll get to lunch and they'll have like a protein shake, or they'll have a like a protein bar, right? And then maybe some fruit. And so they're not eating unhealthily in the sense that they're not like going to Subway sandwich and having pizza. They're like, they're not in that category. So they feel good about that. And then they, you know, maybe they'll snack a little more on nuts and, you know, nut butter on a rice cake and feel like that's really like good.
Eating clean.
Yeah. Eating, that's a good word. Eating clean. And then dinner comes and they have this massive meal. And maybe they'll have a snack after that. And they call that healthy. And I'm not judging, because that was definitely me. And it can still be me. In fact, I haven't even eaten yet today.
Right,
I'm
right.
Nothing.
It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
I'm notorious for that. And so many people are, even though they feel hungry or whatever, they're just like, they skip it. And how detrimental, this is what I learned, just how detrimental it is. Like how it's like literally running your car on fumes. It's like, you're not. Yeah. And you're, and it down regulates everything else. Like in a car, it's like all of a sudden your car cannot optimize its performance.
Eventually it catches up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to speak to, cause I know I could hear them in my head. And I was one of them. I would say, yeah, but when I eat like this, I have so much more energy. My sleep is better. Like, what do you mean? When I was eating a ton of calories, you know, I felt so bloated and da da da. And what's going on is, because you're eating less, and especially if you have an active lifestyle, even if you just have an office job and you're staring at a computer, your main fuel source for your eyes is glucose. It was like 75% of your fuel for your eyes is glucose.
Wow.
So, and if you're constantly reading, if you're sitting at a desk all day, that in itself is stressful. And what we don't understand is, in the beginning, stress means we need more food. And if we don't get that fuel, then our body produces cortisol and adrenaline to make up and to compensate for that lack of calories. Well, you know, when we're adrenalized, we feel great. We feel powerful. We have energy. And that's really only supposed to last, you know, a few minutes. And unfortunately, people are living under this stress state for years, and they don't understand, like you said, how badly it is creating this problem, you know, kind of behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Until they're older, and then they realize, oh, why do I have cancer now? Or why do I have insomnia? Or why am I in pain? Or why do I have arthritis when I've eaten so healthy? You know, and that's why you're not getting enough food.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what happened. Like, I know there's so many, diet fads that have come and gone, and it goes along with whatever the media decides to, make a big deal, like when they demonize fat or when they demonize salt, or the Atkins diet was a big thing, and all these different diets that come and go. How did we ever get away from, how did we get into this? Let's just not eat much. Let's just fast for a long time. And I mean, I know that autophagy can, you can see healing through fasting. You can see things get better through fasting. I mean, there are people in my group who are, I'm telling you, they get so passionate. That's a really nice way of saying they get so pissed. when you say, look, intermittent fasting might be good in the interim or for short periods of time, but if you carry on like that for years, it's going to wreak havoc on your body, because that is a starvation state. You're teaching your body, okay, I'm going to function in a state of lack. I'm going to function in a state of stress. And they get super passionate and they just get mad and they're like, no, I cured my PCOS. I cured my this, I cured my that. And so it's hard to, and again, not judging, but I'm like, and
It's
what's the,
observing.
right. And what's the alternative for them in that moment is like saying, when they say, I already tried those things. I tried to graze throughout the day. I tried those things and I just got really, really heavy. And I got, and they just go on and name the symptoms. So it's probably my most difficult thing to, it's a big challenge right now for me as a practitioner to try and teach what I've learned about fasting.
Because I come into contact with that as well, and I totally understand what they're saying. My opinion, and just from what I read and my experience with people and with myself, it will help you for a certain amount of time, and however long that time is different for everybody. But from my understanding, from reading, is that healing, it's almost like a forced survival type state.
A
It
boost,
is
yeah.
so a boost. The stress is so high that your body goes, oh crap, like I have to force myself to work. And so, when I was vegan, I saw things heal as well. But then worse symptoms happen later. So there is a lot to be said when it comes to, yes, it's great to be eating throughout the day, but what I also try to teach my clients is the ratios are also important when it deals with healing, because that's what the pro-metabolic approach. It's not just eating healthy and dieting, it's repairing and healing. And you do have to take a deeper look into, maybe that person does better with a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio. I have a client that does better with a 3-to-1 carb to protein ratio. And if she continued to just slowly like graze and even fast, because she wasn't getting that 3-to-1 carb to protein ratio that increased her pulse and temps, that helped with the symptoms that she was dealing with, if she continued to fast like she was, eventually she would have had worse symptoms later on. And that was something that she actually found for herself. So,
Yeah, that's so interesting, 'cause I just had Kitty Bloomfield on my show a couple of days ago, and she was saying the same thing. She was saying, because I hadn't heard that yet, which is like, you might be someone that needs a little more protein or a little less carb, or but you have to get it all. You just have to, for yourself, find out what that is by tracking your food, which is something nobody really wants to do. At least
no.
I don't know anybody who wants to do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And tracking your food, counting your macros, et cetera. And then, doing it for a while and starting to realize, okay, that probably, I felt so much better yesterday when I had extra milk or whatever. And that's so interesting. But I also was thinking, like, that it depends on how you're feeling, really. So, like, a lot, it's like with the estrogen, and this I want to sort of segue. you know, in my group, it's the estrogen dominance support group. So a lot of women and a lot of clients and people say, you know, I do really well on estrogen. You know, these things go away. You know, vaginal dryness goes away. Vaginal atrophy goes away. I have a little bit better libido and I'm, you know, or whatever, they'll name off some things. And then I'm like, well, you know, yeah. We don't know what's happening in the long term. We don't know what is being affected. What we do know is that, you know, your estrogen, you're making estrogen in your adipose tissue. You're making estrogen in your, you know, adrenals. And even if you're in menopause, you still could be estrogen dominant. You know, it doesn't have to be high estrogen. It just has to be dominating your progesterone at the wrong times, right? So my question is to these people, like the fasting people and the estrogen loving supplementing people, is one is that why are you in this group then? So not like, I'm not being rude. I'm just saying literally what brings you here then? Because I'd like to know what's remaining and then talk about if that could be part of the missing piece here where you should, maybe we need to balance out that estrogen or maybe you need to eat more. And so I pulled this up on my phone, which is Keith Littlewood. When he was on my show, he said the 6 markers of good health, right? So, hey, if you're if you've been doing intermittent fasting for 6 years and you're thriving, awesome. But what is thriving mean? And so his was broken down right into the 6 markers, which was steady energy throughout the day, sleeping without interruption, 7 to 9 hours, excellent digestion, no bloating or excessive burping after meals, at least 2 to 3 firm bowel movements per day, healthy libido, absence of pain, and quality of mood. And it's like, I figure if you have those 6 markers of good health, you aren't going to be in no estrogen dominant support group, honey.
Yes.
You don't have time. You'll be doing too much with your life.
Yes. And also what I found too, because I've had those conversations, doing your blood work and watching your PTH and watching your prolactin.
See, this was new to me. So let's talk about that. So parathyroid hormone and prolactin. Okay, yeah. I please, because I know a lot of my listeners are like, what? Why? Yeah.
So if, because like you said, estrogen lives in the adipose tissues, to get a real accurate reading on how estrogenic you are, they would literally have to take a small little biopsy, a chunk of your, you know, flesh, you know, who wants to do
now,
that?
Well, now, just side note, Georgie Dinkoff has his hair and nail steroid analysis.
I forgot about that. And is it up and running?
It's up and running. And I'm going to do that. I'm constantly I'm going to do it. I'm going to send him my hair and nails and see what's up. But go on. So if you can't afford that, you can. Okay. Tell us about it.
So in your blood work, you can ask for, and this is if, you know, you're allowed to get it, check your prolactin, because if estrogen is high, so will prolactin. They move together. And just that in itself will help. And usually, even people who feel phenomenal, they'll have either really low cholesterol, total cholesterol, or they'll have really high cholesterol. So I always, here, when I'm doing a consultation with somebody, they say, you know, I'm here, even though my doctor says my labs look great, my hormones look great, my thyroid is fine, they're still concerned about my cholesterol. And how can this be when I don't consume saturated fat? I eat clean. How come I'm still seeing this? And that's what people need to understand. You have to look at the big picture. You know, and when you feel like you're not estrogenic, or when you feel that you're doing great fasting, cholesterol is part of the immune system and it's part of the protective system in our body. And when those are elevated, that's a sign that, okay, something's going on. Mm-hmm. And you really need to look at your blood work as a big picture to kind of find what that big picture is.
Mm-hmm.
And prolactin is one of those key players that you would follow.
I did not know that. I certainly knew that it's important to check it, but I couldn't figure out what the mechanism was there that would, okay, so it's high or it's low. Why?
What is that?
It should be in this range. It's like a lot of the things that you see on blood work. It's like you see the value and then where it should be. And you're like, okay, it's in that range. Great. Moving on. Like you don't, or it's a little bit low. Okay. What do I have to take? Like you don't think what the functionality is of this particular thing in the body, but prolactin and estrogen work together, or that's how you would say it.
Well, it's like, you know, if cortisol is rising, so is estrogen, so is prolactin. And because they're part of the maladaptive stress hormones, we need them. But when they're in excess, that creates the imbalance. And that's when you're going to start seeing inflammation.
Amazing. You
know? And so I see very lean people, like they're not puffy, sometimes when you can look at someone and be like, okay, I can see some estrogenic qualities, whatever, but there's some people that are very lean. They're not puffy. They don't have that external symptoms, but when you start diving into their blood work, and not just focusing on that hormone, that, you know, the famous hormone panel, if you start looking at the big picture, it's like, oh, well, now your kidney enzymes are elevated and now the prolactin and your temperature is 96.8 upon waking. You know, it's a big picture.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you say then to people, by the way, you described me because I've been thin all my life and, but you know, big boobs and like, mm-hmm. clotting and like I'm a bleeder and then you know, but you look at me and you're like, no, I mean, I'm sure if Ray Pete had looked at me, he'd be like, estrogen. Because you know, there's those signs, you know, there's those signs. But just to wrap up on the fasting, I had a little tiny mind bomb there for a minute, realization where it's like if you want to see what fasting over time does to somebody, look at my life. Because I have been a faster since I was little, not wanting to be, but I just could, my mother could not get me to sit down and eat. I was probably just hypothyroid my whole life and had cortisol gut and all that stuff. And, couldn't eat. And then when I did sit down, I would gorge and just wanted sugar all the time, of course, because my cortisol and everything. And yeah, it was skinny for sure, but such high adrenaline, such high anxiety to the point of anxiety, what's it called? Like panic disorder.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, going into my age of helping people with nutrition and stuff, doing good in so many ways, healing my body of other things, but, you know, not really not able to have a child, you know, not able to hold muscle mass, not able to heal well, always getting sick. Like that was me my whole life. And that is what fasting can do to a person over years and years. And I'm 53 now, and I'm only just in my last, I've been doing this for 17 years, but I've only just in my last like 5 years really feel like I'm getting a handle on it, doing it correctly for myself. And even though I've helped a lot of people, I've been doing some things wrong. And this pro-metabolic part piece of it is just life-changing, truly. And I just want everybody to get that.
That was so, you know, thanks for sharing because it's that. And I'm actually going to be posting a video on pro-metabolic approach on my YouTube soon because I really want people to understand this is it's a lifestyle. So you're constantly learning. There is no one right way.
Yeah.
And so when you said, I've been doing this for years and I realized I was doing some of this wrong, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
We learn as we go.
Yeah. And there, I started saying this lately, like people say, but I already worked on my gut health, Kitty. And I'm like, you don't get to the top of Mount Gut Health and get a trophy. Like there is no Mount Gut Health. There is no Mount Hormones. There is no Mount, you know.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing journey. And one day you're going to turn around after all that gut health work you did and you're feeling so good. And oops, now you're sick for some reason because of, menopause. Estrogen's retreating into the lining of the intestines all of a sudden. And I've got gut health, a leaky gut again. Oops. You know, like it's just life. We're just humans. But I went off into the weeds there on myself, but I want to talk now again, what you said about, okay, so you look at your prolactin, And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, my prolactin is high, but my estrogen says I'm low. My Dutch test, my blood spot, everything says I have no estrogen. I have vaginal dryness. I'm having issues down there. I don't understand. What? How do I move the estrogen out of the tissues and into circulation? Or should I just take estrogen and progesterone together?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. That's a really good, what I would say, if you're in that situation and you're like, okay, I have the symptoms, but I don't really, it's like everything says that I don't have it. I would actually start strengthening the liver, because the liver is going to help detox the estrogen out, you know,
even out of the tissues.
Yeah.
Okay.
In time. That is
good to know. Okay.
In time. Mm-hmm. And start increasing fructose. So start doing more fruit. Start eating things that are rich in vitamin Bs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not a fan of doing the liver, there are other supplements. I love Georgie's supplements from Ideal Labs, the Energen. Start supporting your liver. And when you do that, things just start happening. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely, things just start to become easier. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, start taking progesterone, because mm-hmm. that's the beautiful thing about taking not a progestin, but a progesterone. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt yourself. You're not going to hurt anything. Mm-hmm. So at least you can see if those symptoms start to go away. And then in 3 months, if you're consistent, see how your prolactin responded.
Interesting.
I mean, there's a lot more to that story, but honestly, start focusing on what does the liver need? So more sunlight, laying out in the sun, doing things that increase CO2, like eating fruit, bad breathing, maybe doing baking soda baths or ingesting baking soda 2 or 3 times a day. Start just promoting health for the other organs. So when you start supporting liver health and other organ health, estrogen will start to leave. Okay. Will start to leave the tissues, will start to leave the body. And when you get that blood work done, let's say 3 months later, prolactin should start to lower. You know, so if you were like a 7 or an 8, maybe you're at a 5 or even lower, which is where you want to be. So, you know, that's what I recommend for people who don't necessarily, they feel like there's a disconnect.
Yeah. When it comes to I mean, it's tricky because, you know, I had this doctor on who I actually won't mention his name, and I couldn't post the podcast because we almost got in an argument, and because he couldn't answer my question, which you just answered, which was, you know, you have to go ahead and support the other mechanisms in the body. You have to support the thyroid, and you have to support the liver so that these things can start to move on their own, the way the body naturally. Now, you know, if a woman is having really low estrogen and she's 54 years old, well, guess what? Women, when they're 54, have really low estrogen and really low progesterone. So the question is, again, do you have those 6 markers of good health? Are you thriving? Because At times, through perimenopause, felt really good. You know, I had all those 6 markers of good health. And then my doctor's like, whoa, we need to put you on testosterone, and we need to put you on this and that and this. And I'm like, but I feel good. Why do I want to do those things? And so, right. And so, but of course, if you're suffering, that's one thing. So this doctor was like, well, if I'm looking at a woman who's suffering and she's got, you know, major, I don't know, vaginal atrophy, I'm not going to not give her estrogen. And I was like, I mean, I understand that you don't want to see a patient suffering. And he goes, I'm not going to care about thyroid NDTs. You know, if her levothyroxine is not working, well, then I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to give her the estrogen. And well, she needs it now.
And that's that protocol. That's protocol. That's
a pill for every ill.
Yeah. Right? Yes. And that's not looking at the big picture.
Yeah. The big picture. And that I feel like it takes a certain amount of grit to be like, which I've been doing for a while now, now that I'm almost fully in menopause, which is, and I work, I'm the CEO at Ona's Naturals. Like I right. sell estrogen, you know, our company sells estrogen, and I'm not going to stop people. Like you can do it, but I don't do much promotion of it. And I always say, when people ask me, I say, make sure you take it with progesterone because these are the reasons why. And if it changes their mind, I'm not going to worry about the fact that we didn't sell that estrogen. So I say, you know, it depends. Like it takes grit for you to be able to say, I'm not going to do this. Let me tell you, I've had some moments where I'm like, I think I need to use estrogen topically or vaginally or what I think I need to use it. And then I'll like get a little dab of it. And then it just doesn't resonate. I'm like, I can't.
Nope. It's like, you can feel it. It's like, nope.
Yeah. I got to do the bigger picture. I have to do the bigger picture. It's hard work. The bigger picture is hard work.
I love that you mentioned you have to be, it does take grit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that we don't know everything and it's okay to not necessarily know the exact path on how things are going to turn out, but when we stay open, this is the biggest thing that I've been really trying to communicate with my clients. When you stay open and relaxed and you know, and you believe that your body has the capability to heal, just that in itself takes so much pressure and reduces so much stress off your body that it gives you some breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always on that hunt and that chase. And I understand, I have been in pain. I know what it feels like to be sick and you're desperate for relief.
Desperate.
But when you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you say, okay, I want to do what's best for my body and I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to educate myself and I'm willing to make mistakes.
Yeah.
When you take that pressure off and you stay open, it is amazing what comes into your life, who you come in contact with. The answers sometimes are right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes the answer is just losing the desperation and just accepting where your body is right now without judgment.
Yeah.
That gives you that wiggle room to just say, you know, I'm just going to do what I can today.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'm going to add a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's I know for myself, I'll speak for myself, my ego and my expectation of, no, when I say I want something, I want it to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the society we live in, right? We love the shiny. We love the big marketing tools. We love that one pill fix all. And when it comes to fixing our hormones and our thyroid, we have to have that grit that you mentioned. And it's a different mindset. And we have to be willing to test and assess. We have to be willing to learn, be open.
Yeah.
It's not just about doing the right thing, right? Eating the right thing, I think.
Exactly. I like that. Lose the desperation, because I feel that a lot, you know, where I feel like a desperate, like I thought I did this already. Like I already worked on that already. You get your blood work done and you're like, why is my cholesterol still in the 300s or why or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it gets super frustrating. And I think this is what I think is so good about the group, is that people really want community. They want to feel like they're supported by other women who are going through the same things. And so that's something I think is very important. But it's easy to hold on to what has worked for you and to feel like passionate about that, where you feel like, with the fasting, you know, it helped me heal of this. And then you don't want to let it go. And listen, I was teaching, you know, fermented food, how to make fermented foods and gut health and the body ecology diet and all of that stuff. And I had to pivot, because not on all of it, but I had to pivot on a lot of it. And that's really hard to do. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do just as an individual when something has worked for you, but it's even harder to do from a practitioner's perspective, when I was reaching hundreds and hundreds of people. And then you're like, okay, I just got a message from someone the other day that was like, I need to know what you've changed your mind on because I've been following, and they were mad. And then, you know, and so I, you know, and I get it. And so I was like, well, listen, I'm more concerned with the people who never change their minds on stuff, because it's like the stuff changes, you know, the amount of information coming out about the microbiome on a literally weekly basis is like, if you're stuck in probiotic and taking regular probiotics every day, you're so far behind already. Cause that's, you're not supposed to be taking.
That's the thing about our marketing and the media and everything. They're just here to sell concepts and marketing. They're just trying to sell a product. Whereas if you listen to the top scientific research centers, they are so open and willing to say that they don't know everything.
Right.
Whereas the media and marketing
and doctors
world and doctors, they're like, oh no, this is it. This is the protocol. This is how this is. And the top leading neuro centers, you know, the systems and the centers that are studying physiology and biology, they constantly are saying, we have no idea about
the
truth
that wrong.
And the depth.
Yeah.
Or we got that wrong. And so when you take that mentality, that humble mentality, and understand that science and health and research is always evolving, takes that ego, that ownership, because man, I know you know this because you're speaking about it, but food and health, it's so personal.
Yes.
It's like, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, don't talk about people's health. It's personal, you know, because people get defensive. No, fasting worked for me. Don't say that I'm wrong, because I've been doing this every day. I've been treating it almost like a religion. How dare you say that I might have been hurting myself?
Yeah.
And that's just, it's not, this isn't about judgment. This is about education.
Right. Right.
And possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the biggest fights that happen in the group. And I think is like, I would say milk is at the top.
Yes.
And that's something I pivoted on as well, because I know for a fact that they do add hormones to, you know, not gestating cows, but cows that are, you know, able to give milk, they add hormones to them and it's in the feed. And so I never used to be okay with that, you know, and now I've learned more about that process. And I understand that, you know, it's nice to, if you can afford grass-fed, you know, grass-fed milk and pasture, more humanely raised animals. But, you know, the amount of estrogen and even progesterone in milk is not enough to really make a huge difference in our lives.
It's
otherwise,
like a drop.
Right. And so it's not compared to the xenoestrogens you're getting from your foundation that you put on every day, or getting from the sunblock you use every day, or the hairspray that you're inhaling with, or whatever. Right.
Or the like stress.
The stress. Right.
Just you being stressed about your health. That in itself can create so much damage.
Yeah.
More so than the stuff that's in milk. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned quickly, prolactin, but you also mentioned parathyroid, but you didn't say much about it because I cut you off, I think. Did you say PTH? Or did I
did. Well, PTH is usually, when I start looking at PTH, it's when you always want to consider like your calcium, your vitamin D, and your PTH. Because people will say, oh, my vitamin D is fine, but yet their PTH hormone will be really high. Mm. And then their calcium to phosphorus ratios will be off. So my point was, you want to look at the big picture. You can't just look at one thing on blood work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that work together and react. Like with estrogen, prolactin, there's going to be a reactive response, and prolactin is going to go up. So it's knowing that big picture and what to look for. It was my point.
And that's so good too, though. But the parathyroid, because a lot of people, I think, don't know that the parathyroid, it kind of governs bone metabolism. I don't know if that's the word. Like it it's sort of like the conductor of what's going on with your bone metabolism and how, you know, if you're in bone loss or not. So that's interesting. And that's, of course, a big thing when women get older and they're like, their doctor's like, you have to be on estrogen, otherwise you're going to have bone loss. And I mean, that I don't know in just our lifetime that sentence, if that'll change.
But just that sentence alone, if someone is prescribing you something where he, you know, if they say, and they do, if you're going to take estrogen, you're going to be dealing with bone loss. You should say, why is that?
Right.
You know, why, what is it? What is estrogen doing to the body that's creating bone loss? And the diets that they give, you know, postmenopausal women, perimenopausal, you know, people who are going through it, it's interesting. Their diets are always so high in phosphorus and low in calcium. And that in itself will raise and increase your parathyroid hormone. So on your blood work, you look at your PTH. And when your phosphorus and calcium levels aren't balanced, this is when women are now starting to deal with arthritis, bone spurs, rheumatoid arthritis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things start showing up, and it's all, nothing happens in isolation in the body. So that's why I say, look at your prolactin, look at your PTH, you know, track, even if it's just 3 days, track your food, see what your calcium to phosphorus ratios are. And that will explain for some of the symptoms that people are experiencing, even if they're lean, and even if they're looking at you and they're like, well, they don't look like they're estrogen dominant.
Yeah.
These are the things that
right.
you would want to look for. That's that behind the curtain stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. It's like we're our own detectives. So yeah. For our body. Yeah. Okay. So it's already at an hour, but let's talk really quickly about, let's talk really quickly just about birth control, because I had heard you speak on that a little bit at one of your posts, which I highly advise everyone to follow you.
Much
useful information stuff. I mean, just in this podcast, you've just said a whole bunch of things that I have not, know. So it's nice to learn new things. And, let's talk about medicated birth control for a few minutes.
Okay. I took some notes because I wanted to make sure that I got this right, because it's very easy for me to switch like percentages, but I thought you might like this. It said that women using birth control experienced a 9 to 38% increase in breast cancer and a 300% increase in suicide risk.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what road you wanted to take down birth control, but I always talk about how birth control is going to have that estradiol valerate. Mm-hmm. And that is usually in birth control. And it is so common for women to now experience PCOS and endometriosis and other hormonal issues after taking birth control. There was a study years ago, and I think I have it, but it was a study on rats, but they were injecting in the abdomen estradiol valerate. And they were trying to see if it actually created PCOS. And in 25 days, it induced PCOS. And most women who come to me and they're dealing with PCOS and dealing with other, you know, issues around their cycle, they have always been on a birth control. You don't always have to be on a birth control to have those things, but
so
the
common.
Estrogen, yeah, the estrogen that is in birth control is so dangerous. You know, and even if you're not experiencing the PCOS, you might be going through the weight gain, the edema, the mood swings, the depression.
Yeah. What I find interesting is all the women who feel amazing on birth control, who are like, it saved my life. I can't get off it because I get so sick.
Right.
And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. There you have
Yeah.
it. Like we need to look into that more, because if you can't get off Medicaid, because basically, and this is what I always like to say to women about birth control, is it is hijacking the communication between your pituitary and your ovaries. You are in
Oh,
a
I like that.
medicated menopause. Medicated menopause. You are not ha that little period that you're having is a breakthrough bleed that is not your, it's not your period. You are an anovulatory and you are in medicated menopause. And that cannot be good for anyone. And long term is really when these women who do good on birth control, what happens to them after. Those are the people, a lot of those women are in the group. Because I was that person. I did really well on birth control. And then I
Oh,
didn't
did
until I didn't, until I didn't. Yeah.
Until you didn't. It's the same thing with fasting. It's the same thing of eating a very low saturated diet or not getting enough calories. That stress hormone increases, so you feel fabulous. And that, depending on the body, that may last years. That can even last decades. But like you said, as soon as they come off, that stress hormone lowers and you experience exactly where your health is. And it's just criminal. It really is. When you really start to look what's in progesterone or even like the copper IUDs, when you start to really read about the inflammation that it's creating, in a woman, it's very criminal on how this stuff flies because, they're promoting this stuff, but they're not seeing these women 10, 15 years later. We are, as as health coaches and practitioners, we see the depression and the inflammation and the frustration and the desperation. It's very upsetting.
It is. I mean, it, I think, once they realize that it depletes the body's ability to make, B vitamins and B6 in particular, it should have been pulled off the market right then and there, because
Yeah.
that right there is the reason why there's a higher rate of women having gallbladder removals than men, is because of the birth control pill. It's like
Yeah.
65% more women have gallbladder removals than men. That's insane.
That's
And
yeah.
yeah. And it's just, there's on so many levels, it's criminal. And I think that doctor that just came out on somebody's podcast, I don't want to say the names,
Yeah.
but I think you probably saw it, where she was, she's a famous doctor, and she was saying that, birth control reduces cervical and ovarian cancer by something like, I don't know, it was crazy percentage, but never talked about how it increases breast cancer. And how it
Yes.
increase, that's not a win. That's not a
Right.
win. Just because you take, antidepressants and you're getting out of your depression and it's saving your life, and that's great in short term. But these women that have been on them for years, and the side effects to that, hijacking your emotional being, it
Right.
hijacking how you feel and see the world and your endocrine system, basically. And then it's like, that's not a win.
That's not a win. Yes.
No. And so,
And
yeah,
it's
but
that's how it is with everything. It's
everything.
like, I mean, this is a whole other topic and I won't go down that road, but it's like with like statins and diuretics and all those. Okay, maybe that person isn't going to die of heart disease, but now they're going to be diabetic and they're going to die of cancer.
Yes.
There's not
Right.
a win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was just talking about metformin because Kiran Krishnan was on my show recently, the microbiologist celebrity. I call him the celebrity microbiologist. And he was talking about why metformin is so good for diabetics, or why, he didn't say why it's so good. He said why it works so well with diabetics. But he wasn't specific in terms of like what it can do, what harm it does. But he said because it raises butyrate in the gut, and that helps heal the gut, the leaky gut. But the side effects, which Georgi Dinkov goes on to talk
Yeah.
about, Constantine pointed this out to me. He was like, metformin side effects are so bad but it's like, oh, my leaky gut is sealed and now I'm losing weight. It's hard to convince people otherwise, you know, who were on it. It's like, no way. I'm not going to give up my, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give up that. I think it was Georgie. I remember I thought it was Georgie where, you know, I learned that metformin specifically kills the mitochondria.
Yes, that's what he said.
And if you are killing the mitochondria, you can't process food. So it's putting you in a starvation state.
Yeah. Interesting.
I was like, I mean, that's like down the road, but in general, I'm like, it's crazy. But same thing, metformin, the birth control, it's just the same thing with blood labs. They're looking at it through like with blinders, like horse blinders. And they're just focusing on one thing when that scary nightmare of a show is happening all around.
Yeah, that's so true with blood labs, you know, because like you said, if you look into it further, kind of like the hair test, mineral test, hair tissue mineral test, is that, you know, if you get a practitioner who looks at that lab and says, oh, well, your calcium is low and your potassium is high and your sodium is high, let's just give you more calcium. And they start throwing things at those values. Oh, that's low. Let's boost it. And they try to work at it in that way. And they create all these other imbalances because like you said, nothing acts in isolation in the body, which is why I don't like to isolate minerals when I take them. I don't like to just take boron or just take, and I know that that's, I might be wrong in that, but I just feel like, you know, someone just taking iron, I think it's just nuts, or just taking one thing. I think maybe magnesium is probably the only thing that I think is okay to take all by itself, but.
Yeah. Or I'll take like niacinamide or something, but also it's like understanding when to take a rest.
Yeah. Oh gosh. That's me.
Or do you know what I mean? Like taking a break from supplementing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just did all of Lent and I'm going to do a podcast just by myself, just talking about my results of like going through all 40 days of supplements.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
And no self-care. I mean, people might say that's a ridiculous thing. I'm the only person to give up self-care for Lent, but I like overdo it. You know, I live at home. I work at home. I do everything at home and it offers me so much, you know, flexibility to be like, I think I'll do a coffee enema and take a bunch of supplements before, you know, I'm in caster packing while I'm working. And it's just like, okay, I need to chill. It was interesting. Oh my gosh. This was so much fun. I really appreciate your time and I learned so much.
I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Everyone really loves you in the group. And, was it Diego? Is Diego the one that's okay? He's the one I think that first introduced our group to you. And,
I had never heard of you guys. And then he just, you know, recommended me over and I was like, who is this? I had never heard of you guys and you're such a big group. And what I appreciate about your group is that you can tell that people are there who are genuinely interested in learning. I'm very cautious. Like I am very nervous about joining certain Facebook groups out there because some of them I feel they're just there to, they don't want help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're there to argue and they want to kind of get in the group and be like, this is what worked for me. And that's all they want to talk about. And that does happen. It happens in our group, but I think that we're pretty active and for the most part,
I love the curiosity. Yeah. That's what I enjoyed. The curiosity there.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, I am going to make sure they get this. I'll post it in the group so that they can.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add before we close?
I think we've covered everything. I think my big message this week, and like I said, I'm going to be making a video on it, is, you know, the pro-metabolic approach and what that looks like. And my biggest advice for people who are looking to repair themselves is just stay open And don't judge yourself, don't judge others, and just glean information. Just be a sponge. And if something doesn't feel right, you know, it's okay. If it feels heavy, don't do it. If it feels light, do it. There's just so much seriousness and so much judgment, and people make decisions and conclusions. So we do it all the time, and it really blocks us from so many things.
Yeah.
So that's been my message that I've been spreading. Just try to be open mm-hmm. and curious, you know?
Okay. Was I right? I was so right. I was so right. She's fantastic. She is hireable. You can totally get on board with this person, and she's going to help you find the answers to your sluggish thyroid, find the answers to your stubborn weight gain, and just encourage you in this pro-metabolic lifestyle, which is pretty great. And how about that prolactin info? I know a lot of you already knew that. I knew it was important. I just didn't realize it was one of the ways that we can. I knew that it can. It's like, yes, if you have high estrogen in circulation, your prolactin's probably high. But I didn't realize it was an indicator of high levels of estrogen in the tissues, which is really what I am trying to figure out in not just myself, but in clients, right? And members in the group. So it's a cool marker. I don't think it's an expensive test. Most insurance covers it. So, you know, request it. When you go get labs done with your practitioner, say, is there any way we can get prolactin thrown in the mix and parathyroid as well? I think parathyroid is expensive. One of them is expensive. I can't remember which one, but I think it's parathyroid. And, you know, I also wanted to just mention that Ona's has a new starter pack, which is very cool for people who are new and just for anybody who wants to just give, more than one product a try. And it is the Luna Pro 5, the Luna Oil, and the Calm Cream. And then if you use coupon code ONAS, and you also, get a multi-product discount. So it's a pretty good way to start your journey with bioidentical progesterone. And while you're on the homepage of ONAS, you can see there, whether it's on your device, your phone, or your computer, you should see somewhere on the page, it says, get your free guide to balancing hormones and feeling your best, the progesterone supplementation guidebook, discover how to safely and effectively, what? That's a typo. Hello. Oh my goodness. Okay. So anyway, you can see it says, get your copy now, click on there, and you're going to see, you're going to get like a 14-page handbook that I wrote based on, 7 years of research and studying bioidentical progesterone. And it's also information from Katarina Dalton and from Ray White and Dr. Ray Pete, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want you to take advantage of that because it's free, and also use your coupon code ONAS. All right, friends, talk to you soon.
Yay!